Hi, readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Christine Feehan is the number one New York Times bestselling author of the Carpathian series, the Ghostwalker series, the Leopard series, the Shadow Rider series, and the Sea Haven novels, including the Drake Sisters series and the Sisters of the Heart series. Her latest book, Desolation Road, is a thrilling romance novel set within a motorcycle club. And in her upcoming passionate novel, Dark Song, two Carpathians find hope in the bond that ties their souls. Let's join Berkeley's editorial director, Cindy Huang, in conversation with author Christine Feehan.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Cindy. How's it going?
It's going pretty well, all things considered. It's raining here in New York. So we do definitely need the cool off, but it's always a little depressing when it rains in the summer, just a little bit. How is it in California?
Oh, it's gorgeous here. Gorgeous day.
Well, I remember from my visits to your house how beautiful the area is and how much nature is around you. So it's nice for this urban girl to get out there once in a while and leave the city.
My gardens have grown up so beautifully.
And your roses?
Yes. I'm so happy with them.
Well, I'll have to see a picture. You have to send me a picture soon of your flowers. Well, thanks for joining us on this podcast. And we have worked together for over 20 years now, I think. I believe, your first published book with us was a novella that is just shy of 20 years old. But I know I was a baby editor when I first approached you, and I was very intimidated when I first saw you at a writer's convention. And you were so nice to me. So I don't even know what you thought, but from that very first meeting, now it's been over 20 years of working together. Can you believe it?
I know, it's so shocking. And here's the thing, you know, I've always been so shy that I was intimidated at that. Anytime I go to a convention, anytime, even now, I'm so shy that it's very difficult for me to go to those things and to talk to anybody. So, as you know, I have a hard time at those things, and people have a hard time thinking that somebody like me would feel that way. But I feel the same way now that I did as a new author.
Well, you were already an established author, because I remember when your first book, Dark Prince, came out, and I loved it. So it was actually on my wish list to meet you. You know, I'm going to tell a secret, not just as an editor looking to connect with a writer that she admired, but as a fan. I was a total fangirl. So thank you for being so nice to me and making me feel very comfortable.
Oh, well, I'm happy that I did. I love every reader I read, every piece of mail that comes in, and I try to respond to every one of them. I appreciate anybody who mm-hmm. writes to me, and every single person that picks up one of my books.
Well, I know you are very responsive to your readers, and they're often asking you to continue with certain characters or series, even after you finish them, which is actually one of the genesis, I think, for Torpedo Inc., this series, which is actually connected to two previous series that you did, but now it has its own identity and its own life. But I know, you know, one of the things we talked early on with the other series when you were ending them was, oh my gosh, I keep getting fan mail from readers asking, you know, why can't I just continue these characters? And what did you tell me? You told me, well, I can't make up a long lost relative to continue them with. And they're like, I don't understand why not. And actually, I asked you that too. It's like, well, why not? Why not? Why can't you just come up with a cousin that that now needs their story told, because we really wanted to continue seeing these characters. But as a result, you know, of these connected series, we do have Torpedo Inc., which was really different for you when you first started writing it. For one thing, it featured a motorcycle club, and most of the characters who have their stories told are members of this motorcycle club. So we have Desolation Road coming out in July. So do you want to tell readers a little bit about it?
Yeah, Desolation Road is a story of Absinthe and Scarlet. Scarlet is a librarian with a very dark past. And she has her own, she was a victim, as well as, of course, him. All members of Torpedo Inc. were victims. And she has pulled herself up and refuses to be a victim. And I love both of them because together they have, they're very strong. And I think women, there's so many women who have had to deal with assault and becoming stronger for it. And she has been determined never, ever to be that victim again. But both of them do at some point suffer from PTSD, which happens. You have triggers, and it happens in this book, which I think is very important for people to understand that it will happen. Mm-hmm. And so both of them have to deal with that.
You often write about people who feel like outsiders of, you know, of whatever society they were born into, or just in terms of their experiences making them feel like they're outsiders. So, and Torpedo Inc. definitely, and as a motorcycle club, is motorcycle clubs, I think, in general, are perceived as being outside the mainstream in terms of American consciousness, I guess. But like outlaws, I mean, pop culture definitely plays into that. Is that why you decided to write about a motorcycle club and form Torpedo Inc.?
You know, I always knew, I've always written women's issues throughout my entire career. That was extremely important to me. And I've always done it. And then, but because of my past working with a lot of victims, I knew there was a discrepancy between the way male children were treated and female children when there were assaults. Oftentimes, male children were not put into counseling, and even within their homes, they were sort of told to be quiet, and they weren't given counseling, and they were, it was sort of swept under the rug. And reading the different things that had happened to them, and some of them that were horrific, and yet they weren't given the treatments that they needed. And these boys were, the bottom line is, I knew that someday I was going to write stories about them. And I needed to find a way to present it in a way that showed that they were big and bad and scary and whatever. And so Motorcycle Club sort of came to mind. And I had already established my Russian assassins and the schools that they had grown up in. So I had the perfect setting already. And these men came out of that and became my motorcycle club. So they're Russian assassins, and they are from, you know, in this motorcycle club. But so they're pretty scary individuals. They're vigilantes.
Yes, but they are protectors of the innocent.
I mean, oh, absolutely.
That's one of the things that I think makes them so appealing, is that they look to see who, especially the people who fall into the cracks, a lot of children and women.
The elderly.
Yes, the elderly. They are very, their goal is to protect the innocent as much as they can, you know, knowing that, you know, that terrible things are being done and the perpetrators are often not caught because they work outside, either outside the law, or they have so much power and money, they can hide their tracks. So the heroes and the heroine from the Torpedoing series really dedicate their lives to seeking out those villains and administering justice, which is, you know, something I think at the heart. You often deal with, you know, people who try to right wrongs in your books.
Right. And they definitely have their own code of honor, and they try to do the right thing. They're trying to learn to live within society, but they don't really understand it yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that I've noticed, having worked with you over so many books, is you often talk about family in your books, whether it's family made up of blood, sometimes literally, or it's found family, you know, people who find each other and feel that they can make a family together. And Torpedoing is a bit of both. It's, you know, obviously there are members in the club that are literal family members, but they're, as a group, as a club, they are family as well. So is that something that you consciously set out to write?
Yes, I think that family is both by blood and by choice is something that gets you through anything and can get you through anything. And sometimes a family that is your blood relationship isn't always the best for you. But the ones that you choose can be as strong or stronger. And those are the people that you have to rely on in your worst possible circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of blood, this actually brings me to, you have, how many books do you have coming out this year? You have 6 books coming out this year. So Torpedo, Desolation Road is just one of them. You have another book coming out in the fall, which is the Carpathian series, and the title is Dark Song. And this is, what number is this in the series?
Is it 34?
It's 34. Wow.
I think it's 34. Yes.
Well, obviously this is a very long running, very popular series, and it's on, you created a race of beings, of humans, but they're, you know, they're not ordinary humans, they're Carpathians. So the Carpathians are basically the inverse of vampires, right? Do you want to explain what they are?
These are a race of people who, in my mind, it was like, how did vampires come into being? And what would cause them to give up their souls? And I thought about it a long time because, you know, there's vampires in every culture. Like, you go in and you hear that myth everywhere. So I'm like, well, what really caused them to do that? And in my mind, it was like, again, I fall back on family and that lack of, you know, you don't find that person that you need in your life. And so they lose all their emotion if they don't find their loved one, that one person that they need in their life that has the other half of their soul. So the male has all the darkness and the female has all the light, and they need both of them to be together. So they actually will be underground. They sleep under the ground. They have to have blood to survive, but they're very respectful. They don't kill anybody. And if they do, they turn vampire, and it is a choice. So they can live for, you know, 1,000 years, but they don't feel anything, and it's a horrific life. Mm-hmm. And so they have their own culture and their own rules, and it's a very hard life until they find that woman. So, and then it's very romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very romantic. Don't you have, haven't readers told you that they've actually had wedding ceremonies using the Carpathian vows you invented?
Oh, many, 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 many times. Yeah. And they have cakes with the, it's amazing with, yes, with the book covers on them. They've tattooed themselves with the vows on them. And I mean, I am just so honored by the things that so many of them have done, you know. They really love it. I have a language that has been made. So many of them have tried to learn the language. And of course, it's small. Like, it's a very small dictionary. It's not like it's this enormous. I don't have tons and tons of time, as you well know. And so it's not like, but these people have really spent a tremendous amount of time and energy putting into this world with me. I love them for that. I just feel so honored that they would do that.
Well, I think you've had a lot of readers ask you, demand you, in fact, that you to reveal yourself as a Carpathian, correct?
Yes. Yes, that is true. They definitely feel that way. You know, that I am immortal. Yes. And we'll go on forever.
Well, I think they want to make sure you keep writing forever, for sure.
Yes, yes, they do. And, you know, the way I look at it is this. There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of romance books, mm-hmm. and I'm the only one writing in the Carpathian world. And so at the moment, there's like, you know, 34 couples. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, as long as I live, there can be that many Carpathian couples, you know.
That's
and
true.
As long as I can keep them fresh, and yes. And I try to move the settings around, and because I have different series in between them, then I'm excited when I go back to that world.
Well, that I was gonna say me. Well, you know, as far as your settings, you know, for any newcomers to the series, with, you know, knowing that the series is called The Carpathians, they may be surprised to know that Dark Song actually takes place not in the Carpathian Mountains, but in California.
That is true.
So, you know, you deliberately actually decided to expand. Though, obviously, you've had books take place in many parts of the world, but this was a conscious effort a few books back to move the Carpathians, at least a branch of them, to the United States. Do you want to talk about why that you decided to do that?
I needed a change, and I needed to feel like I wanted a fresh new take for a while, and I wanted a new branch of Carpathians. Each book is a standalone for me. When I write it, I try to write it with the idea that it's a brand new book, a brand new couple. New readers are just first picking it up, and hopefully they can understand the world. The only time I didn't do it was a trilogy within the series that I wrote. But other than that, and even those, I tried to make standalone romance. But, you know, I've tried to make each book be that when that's my vision for the books when I write them. But I needed that break. I needed to come here. I'm not somebody, I'm not a writer who will have, I get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters, which I'm thankful for, but the demand to have a laundry list of characters put into a book simply because somebody wants them in there, I can't do that. They have to be in there for a reason. And when you're in the Carpathian Mountains, people think every character should be in there. Mm-hmm. And there's not a reason for that. Mm-hmm. Your main couple is the real reason for the story. And just simply because a reader loves another couple, you don't want them to detract from the actual mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. And I would be bored out of my mind if mm-hmm. I was rewriting the same story over and over. And I had to move them out of the Carpathian Mountains for a while.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that I find really fun about Dark Song is that it features two of your oldest characters, actually. The Carpathians obviously can live thousands of years, but mm-hmm. even they have characters whom they term ancients. And mm-hmm. both the hero and the heroine are actually ancients in this book.
Yes.
And so they are in a very, very, very new environment, very modern, very new country. So both of them have to deal with the 21st century in different ways. How is that, especially with a heroine like Elisabetta, who had literally been held captive and isolated for thousands of years? How is that writing her?
It was very interesting. I did a lot of research on various types of people who had undergone captivity and also were put into highly stressed situations and how they would react in that situation. I didn't want to fall into the trap of this is what everybody expects and then give them that, because again, I had received so many letters and they're like, oh, well, she's gonna, you know, she has all these modern women around her and she's gonna do this and she's gonna, no, she had to be in character and I wanted her to be in character. And honestly, I will tell you, I was a little afraid for her because the man that I knew was her life mate, her partner, was one of the oldest and he was very dominant. And I'm like, you better not be mean to her. And I was like, what is wrong with you that you weren't trusting your, you know, the whole concept of being a life mate, which is you have to be the right person. You have to give her whatever she needs and she has to give you whatever you need. And he did. I mean, he was so wonderful. I loved him. I fell madly in love with him. You know,
it's hard not to fall in love with your characters for sure. Oh. Pharaoh was incredibly gentle, especially, you know, again, he was what she needed, but he was also very strong. He was there for her until she was strong enough to stand on her own. And he was incredibly proud of her when that happened. So it is something that I think it's a good reminder of what the Carpathian life mate, being a life mate means, is mm-hmm. that you are what your partner needs.
Yeah.
And it's not what other people necessarily expect, but it's not about other people, it's about them.
The two of them, yeah.
Yeah, I found the book. Obviously, I'm not the most unbiased person reading her books, but I found it incredibly romantic and actually one of the most romantic books that you've ever written. I found their relationship really, really just touching, loving, very important, and full of understanding, which I think we could all use a little bit more of.
I actually felt it was one of my most romantic books. And in the backdrop of all this distrust, like it was so crazy what was going on around mm-hmm. them. And yet the two of them had to trust each other so much in the middle of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally had battles going on. And again, it was really interesting to see how, you know, the expectations Elisabetta put on herself to be part of that battle too, because she was not a warrior in the same way some of the other Carpathian women were, that she could fight her own battles and lend her strength to the fight as well. So I felt it was really great to see her, you know, contribute in her own way, on her own terms.
Yes. She was not, in my mind, she was a very, well, she had to be an extremely strong woman. She did not see herself that way. He mm-hmm. saw her that way. And he was willing to be standing in front of her until mm-hmm. she saw herself that way. And I loved him for that.
Yes. I think readers will all love him for that, actually. I'm trying not to go into too much spoiler territory.
Right, right.
the book is not actually out yet. But hopefully,
that's true.
Hopefully we didn't cross any lines there. So speaking of chaotic times that, you know, you obviously wrote about them in Dark Song, we're living right now in our own version of total and extreme chaos. So how have you been dealing with the pandemic? Have you been doing a lot of reading? Have you been communicating with your fans?
Yes, I found that I had a little trouble actually writing because it felt like I was so disconnected from everybody. And when I was writing Reckless Road, I ran into a couple of problems trying to first name Hannah's tea shop. And I reached out to my readers and, oh my gosh, they were amazing. And I started reading every single thing that they, you know, every suggestion, both on Instagram and Facebook. And there were so many of them. And I read them over and over, and the discussions were amazing. And some of them I loved, but there was one that inspired this entire scene. And I kept going back to it because the scene was so vivid in my head that I ended up writing the scene. And then I knew I had to use it in the book. So because I had to use a scene in the book, I had to use that name for the actual tea shop. So then later, I knew that I had to name, you know, Elena's restaurant. And my mind was a total blank. And I thought, okay, well, I did it once. Let's try it again. And again, my readers came through like you wouldn't believe. And it was wonderful. It felt like having this amazing discussion with them. Even though I wasn't participating, I could read everything they wrote. And I just felt like it was so awesome to be able to feel like I was part of this big group of readers and being connected through books and through writing instead of being so isolated and alone. And so I thought, maybe I'm going to do this more than, you know, I might do this again.
Well, I was going to say it's a big spoiler since Reckless Road isn't out until January next year. So I'm not going to say what the names that were chosen, you chose for them, but they are very cool names. And I think fans are going to get a real kick out of it. And I saw some of that engagement when I was following the discussion. And you're right, it was fabulous. They're, you know, your readers are so invested. And I think they felt even more so because they could share this with you and be a part of your book. And even the names that you didn't use, I'm sure were fabulous.
They were. There were so many. And they were so creative. And I loved all of it. I loved all the discussions. And it was so inspiring. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do feel like reading connects us all and books connect. I've always felt that way. Even, you know, when I went to the conventions, that's part of what I think inspires us as authors. We are isolated. You sit in a room and you're writing a book and you're after a while you think, is anybody even reading this? You know? And then you go to a convention and they're there and they're talking to you and they're excited about the book. And because of COVID, you don't see that or hear that. But having done that, you know, putting that out there and saying, hey, does anybody have any ideas? And then seeing this huge amount of people that stepped forward and said, oh yeah, and these are the reasons that I think this would work. And they really had good reasons. Then you do feel very connected to everybody. And it's the same when I've put out, oh, I love this book. Mm-hmm. And then other people will say, oh, I read that book. It was so good. And then they give me back book recommendations mm-hmm. as well, you know.
Well, speaking of book recommendations, do you have anything that you'd like to recommend to anyone listening? I think we've all been doing a little more reading.
Well, I you know, of course, I'm a huge Jane Ann Krenz fan. Like, you know that. She's my fallback. Nilini, she's another one. Christopher Rice has a series out. He did this one called Bone Music. And he has everything in that book. He's got two books out right now, and his third one's coming out in August. And it's everything I love. It's dark, which, hello. It's women's issues, which I absolutely love. And that particular, there's two characters that in my lifetime I wish that I had written. One was the girl with the dragon tattoo. Mm-hmm. Not the book itself, but the character. I loved that character, and his character, Burning Girl, I thought was so fabulous. And the thing about the secondary characters, you know, he has in this book the kind of characters, you know, the small mm-hmm. town, mm-hmm. The, you know, all the things that I like in my books. And so I highly recommend it. It's called Bone Music.
I think that's all the time we have. So thank you, Christine, for talking with me. And I really enjoyed our talk, as always.
Yeah, I loved seeing you. Yeah. I mean, talking with you.
Right.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media, or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.